This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for October 19th, 2012. I'm Natalie Pincham. I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published today. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are vascular disorders, oncology, the skull base, and functional neurosurgery. Effect of acetyl salicylic acid usage and platelet transfusion on postoperative hemorrhage and activities of daily living in patients with acute intracerebral hemorrhage. A clinical article by Xiaowei Li and colleagues. The authors evaluate the effects of acetyl salicylic acid usage, or ASA, and transfusion of previously frozen apheresis platelets on postoperative hemorrhage in patients with intracerebral hemorrhage undergoing craniotomy. This was a prospective, double-blind, parallel, randomized controlled trial in patients with acute hypertensive basal ganglia hemorrhage. They had either received or not received ASA therapy. The patients who received ASA therapy were divided into ASA resistant, semi-responsive, and sensitive groups. All patients required emergency craniotomy for hematoma removal after hospitalization. The patients who were sensitive to ASA were randomized to receive one of the following transfusion regimens of previously frozen apheresis platelets: no transfusion, one therapeutic dose before surgery, or two therapeutic doses, one before surgery and one after 24 hours of hospitalization. The prognoses were significantly poorer in the ASA-sensitive patients who received ASA therapy than in patients who did not receive such therapy. After transfusion of platelets, the prognosis in the ASA-sensitive patients was better than the prognosis in patients who did not receive a transfusion. Transfusion of previously frozen apheresis platelets greatly improves the prognosis in ASA-sensitive patients with intracerebral hemorrhage undergoing craniotomy. Long-term outcome of gamma knife stereotactic radiosurgery for arteriovenous malformations, graded by the Spetzler-Martin classification. A clinical article by Michael Thomas Koltz and co-authors. Conventional neurosurgery or radiosurgery? That is the question when it comes to arteriovenous malformations, or AVMs. In a new paper by Koltz and colleagues, the authors attempt to remove one of the major barriers that has long confounded the answer to this question. Most surgical series report outcomes based on the Spetzler-Martin grading scale, whereas most radiosurgery series report outcomes based on radiosurgery-specific scales. As a result, a direct comparison between these two major treatment modalities has been impossible, like comparing apples and oranges. In their paper, Koltz and colleagues looked at long-term outcomes, ranging from 5 to 16 years, for gamma knife surgery of AVMs classified according to the Spetzler-Martin grading scale. The authors found highly favorable obliteration rates and highly favorable clinical outcomes for Spetzler-Martin grade 1 to 3 AVMs, with results that rival outcomes for similar patients reported in surgical series. In addition, using the modest dose, staged dose methodology favored by the senior author, Dr. Simard, lesion obliteration was achieved in half of the patients with Spetzler-Martin grade 4 AVMs, one of the best rates reported for radiosurgery for these difficult, technically challenging lesions. It is anticipated that this paper will go a long way in helping clinicians decide what is best for their patients with AVMs, conventional neurosurgery, or radiosurgery. Multiple resections for patients with glioblastoma, prolonging survival. A clinical article by Kaesorn Lee Chaichana and co-workers. Glioblastoma is the most common and aggressive type of primary brain tumor in adults. These tumors recur regardless of intervention. This propensity to recur, despite aggressive therapies, has made many perceive that repeated resections have little utility. The goal of this study was to evaluate if patients who underwent repeat resections experienced improved survival as compared with patients with fewer numbers of resections, and whether or not the number of resections was an independent predictor of prolonged survival. 578 adult patients underwent surgery for an intracranial primary glioblastoma at a single institution between 1997 and 2007. The median survival for patients who underwent one resection was 6.8 months, versus 15.5 months for patients who underwent two resections, 22.4 months for patients who underwent three resections, and 26.6 months for patients who underwent four resections. Even after multivariate analysis, patients with increased numbers of resections showed improved survival. Importantly, the risk of infections or iatrogenic deficits did not increase with repeated resections. The present study demonstrates that patients with recurrent glioblastoma can have improved survival with repeated resections. Using a modified far lateral approach to remove hypoglossal neurilemomas. Notes on technique. A clinical article by Xinru Xiao and colleagues. In this article, a modified far lateral approach was used to remove hypoglossal neurilemomas. Briefly, after the emissary vein of the condyle was coagulated and transected, the emissary vein canal of the condyle was packed with absorbable gelatin sponge to reduce bleeding during the drilling of the posterior wall of the condyle. A fat layer covers the venous plexus of the vertebral artery, and careful dissection along this surface is important to protect the vertebral artery from damage. A standard suboccipital craniotomy was performed. The posterior aspect of the condylar facet was removed in parallel with the posterior arch of C1. The tumor was removed subcapsularly to improve the postoperative function of the cranial nerves. The orifice of the hypoglossal canal was sealed with a vascular pedicle to reduce the leakage of cerebrospinal fluid. 11 cases of hypoglossal neurilemomas were treated using this technique. 10 lesions were completely excised in a one-stage operation. The remaining lesion underwent subtotal tumor removal because of the tumor's adherence to the internal carotid artery. 2 patients required a tracheotomy because of a decreased cough reflex and the postoperative development of pneumonia. Other transient neurological deficits include facial nerve palsies, hoarseness, and difficulty swallowing. Preoperative assessment of meningioma stiffness using magnetic resonance elastography. A clinical article by Matthew Murphy and co-authors. The physical consistency of a meningioma has important implications for operative procedures in which soft tumors are often easily removed, whereas firm, fibrous tumors frequently require a lengthy and tedious dissection. MRI serves a central role in the diagnosis and characterization of these typically dural lesions. However, preoperative T1 and T2 MRI characteristics differentiate only a small number of very soft or firm meningiomas. Magnetic resonance elastography, or MRE, is an emerging diagnostic imaging technology that utilizes MRI to detect the motion of propagating acoustic shear waves in tissue. MRE generates quantitative images, including maps of tissue mechanical properties such as stiffness, viscosity, and anisotropy. This study demonstrated that tumor stiffness, as measured by MRE, was significantly correlated with tumor stiffness as assessed by the surgeon at the time of resection. MRE demonstrates the potential to accurately determine the preoperative stiffness of all meningiomas and may provide valuable information affecting risk assessment, patient management, and workflow optimization. A stroke of silence, tinnitus suppression following placement of a deep brain stimulation electrode with infarction in area LC. A case report by Paul Larson and Stephen Chung. These authors have previously shown that part of the caudate nucleus may be involved in the perception of tinnitus. Deep brain stimulation is a commonly used surgical procedure to treat movement disorders. Recent experiments involving transient stimulation of the caudate during these surgeries in awake patients have led to changes in the loudness of tinnitus and have even caused patients to hear stimulation-induced phantom sounds. In the current paper, the authors describe a patient with Parkinson's disease who underwent routine implantation of a deep brain stimulator. They report a marked reduction in her tinnitus after surgery. MRI showed a very discrete vascular injury adjacent to the stimulating electrode in the same region of the caudate previously shown to be involved in tinnitus modulation. Her tinnitus remained improved 18 months after the injury. This finding provides further evidence that this region of the caudate, which is not part of the traditional auditory pathway, is involved in the perception of sound. The authors state that functional surgeons should consider asking patients about sound perception during deep brain stimulation surgery to avoid missing important clues about auditory function in the basal ganglia. Thank you for listening. Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group podcasts are contained in the American Association of